Saturday's protest against systemic racism, as evidenced in the death of George Floyd, continued downtown to Albany's police station on Arch Street that evening, and eventually to South Pearl, where a police tactical vehicle tear gassed those protesting. On Monday afternoon, people gathered again to block the Route 9W entrance into Albany at Henry Johnson Boulevard and Livingston Street. Police stayed back this time, blocking traffic around the area. Police Chief Eric Hawkins spoke with the media as well as concerned citizens about this volatile moment in our nation's and city's history.
Yeah, and many people here said that it was good to see that they have support from the police chief while they're expressing their dissatisfaction with social injustice. And I think it made a lot of people feel better. I think it made people feel good to know that they could talk, they can come and talk to me unfiltered, raw, and talk about things and get some honest, straight answers. This is, from what I understand, a peaceful demonstration. And that we're talking to the people who are organizing it. The important thing is that we understand that people are frustrated, some are angry, and we understand that those feelings are out there. We respect that, and you know, we're getting that same respect from the people that are here. Well, I think the whole thing to me is painful. It's very, very painful to watch. You know, it's sad. You know, it shows that there's a lot of work that needs to be done. It shows that there needs to be understanding on, you know, a lot of different ways. And so it is, you know, it's just a very painful period right now. I mean, I don't think anybody has every answer for this. I think part of the solution is understanding that nobody has all the answers, but everybody can do a part. And so as police chief, you know, my position is I can play a part in helping to, you know, ease some of the tensions, you know, helping to, you know, encourage dialogue and sharing of ideas and understanding of concerns. You know, I can play a part. And so all I'm doing is trying to do my part with this whole thing.
Chief,
yes, sir.
A second. So I live over on Clinton Avenue, and you know, I had a guy screaming and yelling on the third floor. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm like, should I call the cops? Mm-hmm. Or should I go out there and just talk his ass down? Mm-hmm. And the fact is, you know, I went out there and I said, brother, come down, man. I feel your pain. Mm-hmm. I'm out here with you. Mm-hmm. You know, and your officer showed up and they said all the wrong things, man. Like, mm-hmm. you don't agree that your girl is a problem, or, you know, just try to commiserate on things that are negative. Like, I see a lot of, you know, the big upping instead of the, like, lay back. Like, brother, what's the problem? You know, like, what are you doing with mental health resources for people who are actually in crisis, mm-hmm. and not actually breaking? Like, because black anger, mm-hmm. as you know, you have to be three times as good. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be quiet, you have to be calm, because mm-hmm. our anger is seen as different. What are you doing with your officers? Is there training available? Is there mental health ride-along services that you can roll out, mm-hmm. in the case of things that, you know, all I saw was they gonna come and they gonna see this brother on the third floor screaming.
Yeah.
Screaming. I'm not afraid of him. Mm-hmm. But somebody down from this neighborhood who hasn't experienced raw black anger, mm-hmm. is gonna be scared. Like, what's your plan for that?
You know, and it starts early. You gotta get it at the very outset when we're bringing officers in to this profession. And they've got it go through some training that gives them an understanding, mm-hmm. of mental health issues. Cultural competency, implicit bias, mm-hmm. you know, all of those things, you got to get it early so it gets it ingrained at very early. And so one thing that I was pleased, you know, during my time here is that even before I got here, you know, these officers were getting that type of training, and I supported it during my time. And that's a start. But then it's got to be some practice. You know, it's enough to know the theories and the whys and all that other stuff, but now can you put it into practice? And that's what we've got to, you know, as leaders, we got to hold people accountable to make sure that they're putting it into practice also.
I mean, I hope y'all, you know, realize the match was lit, and, you know, I hate having to be out here.
Yeah.
You know, like, we don't want to scream and yell at you, because at the end of the day, that uniform comes off and you're, mm-hmm. still a brother.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes a dissonance, mm-hmm. when we see brothers and sisters in an institution that we can't.
We've been going through the same thing. Mm-hmm. If he leaves Albany and goes somewhere else, he can go through the same thing.
We here.
Mm-hmm. Them not even knowing who he is.
You know, like, I go to bed every day with my mark on. Mm-hmm. Your uniform can come off. People hate cops. Mm-hmm. You can stop being a cop. Mm-hmm. You know, like, my feeling is, if you're so scared of another human being or so hateful, like, I mean, you really have to look and see, do you want to do this job for the right reason? Because honestly, you guys have lost all sorts of cachet, and it's not your fault, but you join the institution trying to help. And we've seen this. My grandfather was a cop in Louisiana, and you know, he got called nigga to his face. And he still protected him because he tried to prove that we are just as good, you know, and it's failed. So the people are frustrated. You see this.
I wish it wasn't
because I don't want to get shot at. I don't want to have to strap on armor every day and kiss my wife and say, I'm going to do a profession that we may have caused me to die. You know what I'm saying? Is this my fault? Do you ever catch an officer saying, maybe we got it wrong? Like, thank you for taking the time.
Well, anytime.
After speaking, two young women asked the chief if he would take a knee for George Floyd and against systemic racism with them. He did. Those gathered entered into prayer. Later, the entire group would start marching across their city, this time with police assisting by shutting off intersections along the way. This has been Paul Smart reporting for Hudson Mohawk Magazine.